got you called in here. We're going to start the meeting. Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Daniel, good morning.
Yeah. How are you?
Good. We'll kick off this meeting. Thank you all for coming this morning. The first thing on the agenda is the meeting minutes approval that Scott sent to everybody. Do we have any comments, corrections?
Look good.
Comments on it? Yeah, it was a great set of meeting minutes, Scott.
Thank you.
Yes.
I think Melinda took care of most. She corrected most of it, so she gets credit.
Yes. Well, Melinda's very good with that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Do I have a motion to accept the minutes?
So moved.
Doug, motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yeah. All those in favor?
All right.
Moving on, we are going to go to the financial reports. That motion passes, by the way. Going to the financial reports, Ed is on my list today. We have five excused absences that were notified. Basically, you know, I don't know if you looked through the report. Honestly, I would say that I'm not... There's not a whole lot on there that I could point out that's let me see one note that Ed did mention to everybody. If you adjust the expenses for the sub-recipient disbursement of $100,000, which is part of the Project Restore grant, as well as special events, marketing promotion, which are higher than normal since the COVID money had to be spent at the end of 2024, then the total expenses year to date are in line with the budget. Bottom line, we are within the budget.
Good.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And some of this stuff, I feel like as we sit on the board, it's hard for us to really do a whole lot in the middle of a meeting anyway, you know, question some stuff. But if Ed's saying we're within budget, is there any other comments? Doug, you have the most amount of expertise as far as the past president.
No, I think, things are just rolling right along. The money,
okay.
You know, the budget seems good. He usually goes and if something is in the negative, you know, he'll point out what the big negatives are and something. A lot of things are spent different times. They're not spent throughout the year. So you might have something that's spent all at once.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever.
Okay. I don't think we need to make motions or approve anything with that, but let's move on then. Ruth is not here yet. She's next with the historic preservation update. She is in the building. She said she'll be up in a second, so we'll just shuffle it out of order here. Old business, Baltimore Street parking. I put that on there. I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to thank Rock for his leadership, and I wanted to thank all the folks sitting in this room that wrote letters, wrote emails. Yeah, it was very helpful. You know, democracy at work.
Yeah.
I mean, that was at the beginning. It was a done deal. We're running downhill, and I was told on those certain terms, there's nothing you can do about it. Give up the effort.
Thanks for leading the effort on that.
Mm-hmm.
Rousing the troops.
Yeah. Well, it was a group effort, and it started with Rock and I meeting about the DDC. So really the DDC, and I will give tons of shout out and credit to Becky McLaren as well,
mm-hmm.
who led the effort. But we don't know where it's going to go, but I feel so much better about, A, that we're taking a pause and seeing it. And I do think some eyes have been opened as to, you know, as I've talked to every single person in this room actually about it, you know, that some of the concerns. My biggest concern was that whole public perception thing and rolling it out and having this thing and all that. So I really feel good, and it's a tribute to the people that worked on the Baltimore Street Committee that put all that effort in there, not to jump to conclusions. As we all can tell you, Dave including, I mean, it was a 10-15 year process to do it. It seemed like crazy to jump right into something like that quickly.
There's bigger paybacks down the road. We just let property values rise.
Yeah. The city will benefit. And I was told it wasn't about the money. So,
sorry.
I don't know. Yeah.
So what are the next steps, though?
I can tell you that the only thing I have to do with the parking order is next week, is on next week's agenda. In Baltimore Liberty and Center, if you don't know, 1 hour maximum. And it will be strictly enforced at, you know, given the marching orders business people have talked to us about, and, you know, not having business owners and employees park there all day. So there's going to be a asking the guys from the parking authority to really focus on being fair, but at the same time being reasonable with what downtown businesses want, which is pop in, pop out, but still have time to walk up and down the street, especially when the weather gets nicer.
I mean, that seems like a reasonable way to do it, A, if they're going to make it all consistent, the same, and B, they're going to enforce it. And I would, I mean, that's kind of what we were asking for or saying the whole time. You know, and there was
a million suggestions on how to do it. My head was starting to get so weird, because every time someone brings something up, you'd say, well, that does make sense. But in the end, I think what people were thinking, what the council was talking about, was the goodwill that's been created, that let's just not fool with that at all right now. Let's have a pause, like you said.
Well, my fear all along was the way social media works is once you get a negative vibe out there, I always use the example, some housewife that lives in the Pinnacle in Short Gap that only comes into downtown, which is, you know, another sad thing, but it hasn't been downtown in 2 years. Once they see it, they'll half read it, run with it. There'll be a million comments on there. It costs $400 to go to Base Camp Coffee. I'm not going to go. And I mean, that was my concern the whole time. And some of that played out in real time too. But luckily, I think we dodged it.
The way that the Times News article was headlined and written, and I mean written, I read it twice just to try to understand it, that there seems to still be like some question as to when, if an app is going to be used, and when the countdown starts to when that app starts. And then the mayor got on the radio and said that that was a confusing.
That wasn't a very good article.
So
I called Teresa McMinn and I told her my concerns, and she's like, I don't disagree with you. She's like, realize, she goes, I write the article, somebody else puts the headlines in. The editor will do the headlines. So
I mean, is there a countdown to an app-based parking, or is this actually going to be like a period of study?
Will there be signs that go up to you with the app?
Yeah, there'll be signs. If I'm going to be blunt, I think the app's inevitable, based on the trends in the country. A couple of us today would argue for the older people that aren't as familiar with that technology as the younger people, but I think that is the trend across the country. And when they talk about the kiosks and not being able to get parts, and if, I guess the day's coming when maybe you won't be able to even purchase them anymore, is what they're telling us.
Yeah.
Well, along those lines, and hopefully we got, it might be something we need to stay on. I will reiterate at least my thoughts on it, is that it doesn't make sense to me to go to the app unless you are looking to monetize the spot. Otherwise, just enforce the infractions.
Let's see how it goes. Hopefully that'll work.
Well, but the app's not going to make that part of it better, because you have to enforce the app, too. That was the thing that bothered me, too. Early on when we started in December, there was certain gaslighting going on. Like, there was a thing that we need to do this because we're not enforcing it. It's like, but you still have to enforce it. So that makes no sense. So what you're really saying is we want the money from the spot. Mm-hmm. So you can't... And the other one was, well, we have parking, people violating the parking all the time. It's like, no, you don't, because you have nothing posted. Right. So you... Quit
Remember
saying
we
that.
Talked about
yeah.
That.
So those two things had bothered me. So the only comment I would have back, and I will speak again, it's like, are we enforcing it and having 1 hour free parking? So in other words, it's 1 hour free. So it makes no sense. What I said to Jeff is like, maybe the app rolls out to anything that's off street parking, and then there's consistent on street parking that is an hour for free, and then you get a ticket. Maybe something like that seems to me, and honestly, I'd like to see it expanded so everywhere that's on street downtown, at least in our district, is the same.
I think that's
1 hour free parking, and then you get a ticket.
Or they program the app so that you you park, you start, you,
yes,
you enter it, and then it doesn't start charging you. You know, you say,
okay, you roll your thing up to an hour and 15, I'm gonna be here for an hour and 15, and then
it starts
charging you at an hour for the 15, or if you say, okay, I'm gonna be here for 30 minutes, you state that in the app, and then as the parking attendant comes by, they read their side of the thing, and they say, oh, this person's only been here, you know, for 30 minutes, they logged in 28 minutes ago, they say they're gonna be here for 30, that kind of thing, and then there's some leeway with the other half hour. Like, there's a way to program Park Mobile to do that. Like, I just parked in Pittsburgh, and it was that way. Like, they had 30-minute free parking, but you log in to Park Mobile, and then you say how long you're going to be there. I said an hour, and then I got charged, like, half the time.
I think it's an excellent use of the pause, yeah, is to keep generating
to do a little research and talk to the Chief Turnette and kind of figure out, okay, he may say this app won't do that or it will do this or whatever, and look at all that before any rash decisions are made. Yeah.
The other thing you could do is, I'm sure Park Mobile has a tutorial that you could kind of throw out there to say, if you really don't know how to use it, you can go this URL or whatever. And
well, one of the things, Doug, to your point, that got some people's attention was, and I mean, I know nothing about this, that you could, if you were having problems with the app, you could call and get it straightened out.
Yeah, that's
like
great.
That.
Yeah.
I don't know, honestly don't know if that's true. I mean, were you talking to somebody in India? Or you?
There is a number at the bottom of the sign.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I've used the app already and it's bugged out on me twice.
I've heard a lot of negative things about the app.
The big thing with me, like, I need to pay for my parking right now so I don't get a ticket, but like, service in a lot of the buildings downtown as bad, so whenever it has enough service to tell you that you have 15 minutes, but then you have to walk out of the room that you're in or the building that you're in to get you know,
additional time,
because you know, the service isn't good enough in a lot of the buildings to do it.
See, that's information we need.
So
I mean,
that's right.
Does the app cap, like, so I could sit there and get a notification every hour and I just pay every hour and I take up that one spot. I guess that's because we're monetizing that spot now, and that's where it comes down to. So you could technically give that person a freedom to park there for 8 hours as long as they keep paying for it.
Yeah, is our real goal to turn over the spots or to monetize the spots?
Exactly.
So I mean, that's a really good question too.
How much does the app cost? I mean, are we pulling down people from our parking enforcement? It sounds like if it's a one app thing and I have a whole entire list, I'm going to buy a check. Okay, cool, check. How many people do we have actually on payroll for this? So, I mean, I think if it came down to it, do we want to employ people in Cumberland, or do we want to do what Martin's does and get rid of cashiers and clerks? You know, like that's
the real goal. In my opinion, that's the real goal, is so those, if those people need, are so lazy they have to park right in front of their establishment and block the parking for a customer, you know, do we have enough parking for employees that's cheap enough, because most people don't make enough money to pay to park in the parking garage. And maybe that's another side of the issue we need to address as well.
I was going to say before,
I know we had free parking underneath the highway, and then people complained about it's not safe to walk there at
night. That's always going to be the answer from city staff, though, is there's free parking on the bridge.
Yeah.
Always.
So.
And whether that's reasonable or not, I don't, I've asked to. Jeff is supposed to be working on getting lighting under there, similar to what we did down by the Veterans Memorial. I don't know where that is. I'm going to check with him. But again, perceptions. The perception
it's
not safe. And when it's dark there, then it makes that claim even more valid, I guess. But
I mean, maybe for the price of the app, we can stick a guy under there with a little kiosk and be like, hey, you're safe. Good to go.
Yeah.
Going back to what Drew said, too, I just, at the end of the day, I still think, for me, if we're talking about turning them over and encouraging people to come downtown, I think for the on-street parking, no app, 1 hour free parking, because there's the other side too, and a lot of people told me they don't want to download the app, they don't want to fiddle with the app, or it didn't work right away, or blah, blah, blah. There's still going to be issues with that. They're saying the app is inevitable, but it's only inevitable if you're monetizing the spot. So it could be used like in the spot behind City Lights. That makes sense to go to the park app, mobile park app, because it's off-street lot, and there are other off-street lots, you know, and I don't know. To me, it seems like that would be a lot simpler way to handle it. And if somebody's complaining about the app, it's like, well, you can park on the street for an hour for free. If you plan on spending down there, then you do have to use the app, but it's better than using that machine with the ticket and all that. So to me, it's a good compromise way to handling it.
I think it's a good compromise as long as it's that way all throughout downtown.
Absolutely.
Right now, it currently is not that way throughout all of downtown.
Yeah, I think all on-street parking downtown should be the same, 1 hour free, including the spots.
Hey, if Bedford, Pennsylvania can do it,
that's right.
We should be able to do it because they're doing that right now. You get at least an hour free.
Yep.
And I went into the Commerce and I said, hey, I'm from Cumberland. Tell me about your parking situation. And she goes, we don't charge for parking down here for X amount of time. I can't remember the number. She goes, why would we do that? She goes, we want people to come downtown.
Yeah.
Hello. Yeah. That's the mindset we need to have.
And
because
the mental mindset behind that is even as big as the reality. Because now the mindset is I can go down there.
Well, and the city is going to get that money back through sales and use tax, admission tax, payroll tax,
property tax.
And they're going to make more money that way if the restaurants are packed than what they ever would through a parking fee.
It's the long play, what Dave was alluding to. And it's real. It's real.
Sure.
That's a real thing. If you don't think there's not room for growth on the valuation of the buildings based on, you know, You're crazy. Yeah. Of course,
there was a lot of building improvement over the last couple of years, and it's still happening. And the assessors are going to come in.
Sure.
As soon as the date arrives that your building permit says you're done, they're going to come in. Your property value is going to go up. You're going to be paying more taxes. That goes right into the city coffers. That's where your payback comes.
I keep trying to get that guy out of my building. You know, just don't. I'm still working, man. Don't
see. I agree with everything everybody said. And to me, the 1 hour things without an app still makes the most amount of sense on the on-street parking and consistent throughout our district, our downtown. I mean, for me, and I don't necessarily think that everybody agrees with me here. I'm absolutely all the way crazy on that one. If I was czar, which there, you know, let's hope there isn't no czars, but it would be free parking downtown, period, all the time. And I've had people say to me, yeah, but Larry, you're going to have parking abusers. And my response to that is, I know. I don't expect everybody to agree with me on that. But it's like, for me, even as owning two shops downtown, I know there's going to be abusers, cost of doing business. I'd rather have the abuser, somebody that's a knucklehead, take the spot. But I know now the messaging going out to the entire marketplace, the primary and secondary market, is it's free. You're not going to get a ticket ever. It's free. That's my extreme position on it, and to me it would be worth doing it. I would take the messaging that it's free downtown, even if the mayor pulled up 18 junkers and stuck them along Baltimore Street and hogged up all the spots, because the message still is, it's free, I'm never getting a ticket. And that's huge for me. But the 1 hour thing is a good...
Well, this is really the first thing that needs to be addressed, is we need to agree on what the policy is. And have it posted, because there's nothing to enforce, there's nothing to monitor there's posting what the policy.
What sounds
is.
Like that's going to happen, right, with the 1 hour thing.
Yeah, the pause is good. Obviously, it's excellent. But I think if I were you guys, I would, all the things you're saying here, if you put that into some kind of formal form, and use that pause for that. The other thing is, and I've talked to Jeff about this, is the city willing to evaluate what has happened from the time this ordinance passes until someone says, okay, it's time to stop the free parking? And other than anecdotal stuff, which is really meaningless in bureaucracy, how do all of us, we're all invested in this, really assess how things have gone? Your ideas and your thoughts on property values and all that. I mean, money talks.
Was it possible that we could give this to the Economic Restructuring Committee or one of the committees to kind of follow up and give them kind of a direction to work on the project? I don't know which one. I mean, economic, because you're involving that economic of property values and things like that, might be an interesting place. I'm not sure where else it would fit in, honestly. But that might be something we can do, so that somebody's always looking at it. part
it,
of the group.
Yeah, it could be, and it could even be a, pulling back too, and not to get too far into the weeds in this, but just a general parking thing. You know, Doug alluded to it, and I know I talked to Dan about it, and looking at the overall parking thing, I don't think the general public has ever really gravitated towards using that George Street garage, as we all know. You alluded to it, I talked to Dan about it, and I think I've said it to you before. I just wonder if there's a solution with the George Street garage where the parking becomes a corporate garage. As part of the package, reserve spots, because I know I would buy the spots for my employees if the price got lowered, pretty darn cheap. But I think all of a sudden, if you fill up all the spots, the city, it might actually make more money. But then the second, because people will use the spot if it says Vibrant Image, you know, that's your spot, you know, Western Maryland Music Center. And also, I think it could be an economic tool for Matt Miller for this toolbox when he's talking to perhaps a company that's going to move in downtown. Well, where are my employees going to park? It's like, well, if you relocate your company downtown, we have an incentive package. You get free parking for 3 years in the George Street garage for your 10 employees. We have the infrastructure, no different than agreeing to run a pipe to a shell building, right? It's the same kind of thing, but it becomes a tool, but and also gets those employees up off those things anyway because they now have a reserved spot. But
at a decent rate.
At a very decent rate, but I actually, again, it's a fixed cost sitting there, that garage, so you have all this variable cost is how many people are using it. You can make more money by lowering the price if they get filled in there and really do a hardcore, because I just don't think the garage for the general public is worth doing all the promotion and doing all that, because nobody still wants to use
it. It's still about money with the garage.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, right, you know, you said it wasn't about the money.
Still paying for it.
Yes, that's why it is. That's why they need
years later or whatever.
I agree, it is about money, but let's be honest here. We've never posted in that garage what the rules are. And a confused mind is always going to say no. So as soon as they pull up to that thing and there's no signings, there's nothing to tell them how it works.
I thought there was a banner that said 2 hours free parking or something.
Okay, well, what are you going to do after 2 hours? What's the rule? It's not posted.
There's been all kinds of confusion and problems.
Absolutely.
But so I guess what I'm suggesting is you take that out of the public realm altogether and make it the corporate garage. It's a spot for
business people,
and we really do a hardcore PR press, and when you lower the cost to do that, it could literally be an economic development tool to help downtown bring in more offices and things like that all at the same time.
Don't give the first floor to the city, because that's the prime of parking. Mm-hmm. If you're going to give it to them, I don't know if they're paying for it or not. Let them park up a couple of rows. You know, that seems kind of strange, honestly.
Yeah. I think that's how they do it usually, too. In Frederick, you'll see, you know, like, hey, this is for this office building, this is for this office, yeah. And up, you know, third, yeah. Fourth, that's kind of, it's public use, you know. I mean, I know that we're going to be looking for a parking spot, because I know when the old Lila building, when that becomes apartments, we're currently in that parking lot.
I think the city could make money off of doing it, and I think that the secondary benefit out of that is it would guide a lot of those cars into that garage. Think about it. Every day, there's probably 300 spots sitting there empty in that garage. Every day. We're complaining and arguing over 18 spots on Baltimore Street, and in the meantime, there's 300 empty spots sitting there. But they're not going to be navigated as structured right now.
No.
I think you have to have a complete sea change. So it could be interrelated to that garage, I mean, in my opinion. And I will tell you, my employees will, I mean, if I had a sign in there, it's like, you know, Western Maryland Music or whatever, my name, I'll park there.
Yeah.
It's my spot.
Yeah.
It's my spot.
You saw our janky ones.
I just suggest that you put some formal thing together. I mean, there's great
that
stuff
could be part of that,
about.
Yeah.
You know how it goes sometimes. These ideas get lost. Yeah. And I think, I don't want to tell DDC what to do, but...
No, I think it's a good
you're a partner.
You're
supposed to tell us what to do. Give us guidance.
Yeah, well, sometimes I forget that, but I try not to. But if you're sitting there discussing something like this in a closed session, I mean, it is impressive that the experts and the people that have the greatest investment in it, you guys. And stress that all these ideas, and at the same time reminding us, I know I try to remind them that besides the renovation of downtown, there's been a lot of money directed toward facade improvements, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So there really is a huge incentive for the city to address all these things and hear everybody, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think this garage idea is really interesting because it could be corporate slash residential garage because of the growing stuff that we're going to have coming online. It could be a good thing for the city. It's an asset sitting there that's...
Well, I would recommend that we take the discussion to that economic restructuring committee, give them a series of points that we want to address and document something. You're on that. Is that your committee?
Yeah, and that committee has, quite honestly, it's been completely directed towards the bid stuff, which is a really, really heavy lift. And I'm not really sure I want that to be on that committee, honest with you. I almost feel like there should be a separate committee with some of the folks. I'm hearing a lot of good stuff. I want to put stuff on everybody's plate.
A committee with a limited time frame for the next 6 months.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great idea.
Several months this committee is formed, and when we have a document that basically puts all the ideas, sends it off to City Hall, then we dissolve the committee or whatever the logical time frame is.
And everybody's sitting around this table has all had good ideas, so I mean, I would say all of you should be on the committee, or hopefully, whoever's really, really interested.
Just don't let the ideas get lost.
Yeah.
No, I like Dave's idea, like very concentrated X amount of thing and come up with some solid recommendations and go from there.
I'm happy to be on it. I'm not happy to lead it at this point. I don't want to chair it, but I'll participate. Okay.
Anybody else? I don't want to chair it if I don't have to, because I'm dying.
Yeah,
I'm too far.
Is there a public number for how much is left on the, say the price of the parking garage?
How much is owed?
Yeah.
It's public knowledge. I
just don't know where.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's still a lot. Okay. Just say that.
Parking for municipalities.
Do you know what it is, Doug?
I don't, but I think it was refinanced at some point.
It was refinanced. It was. Yeah, it was.
I will say this too. We want to see if we can find a way to generate money, but parking garages never pay for themselves for municipalities. I mean, how much cash is the new Baltimore Street Bridge generating right now? Zero, right?
Zero.
Was it worth doing?
Sure.
Yeah. I would say the same thing with infrastructure, with parking and streets and all that. It's the cost of doing business for a city and a state and a country and whatever. I always thought the city looked at that very strangely. It's like, you're not going to make money on it, but it's just like a road. You have to have a road. You have to have a freeway. But anyway,
maybe you can get Melinda to send out a meeting request to everybody on the DDC and invite people that might be interested in joining as well from the outside. And we can move forward. What do you think about that?
I'm not crazy about that, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think the committee should come from within the board of the DDC.
Well, fine, but I'm
just
saying,
for the sake of not driving everybody insane.
Let's get some sort of a meeting invitation going out so we can.
Because we're just going to give recommendations. If the city wants to open up to public input, they should. But I think it would be a lot efficient for people's time to kind of keep it straightforward.
That's
gather.
Cool. Yeah.
That's Here's cool. The other information that would be interesting too is, how much parking, how much revenue is being generated, how much is being spent on enforcing the revenue, that's another whole thing too. It's like at the end of the day, by the time the city pays all the salaries, they only make this much money. It's like, wow, is all that trouble even worth it? That kind of thing. If we're looking at the monetizing part of it. But to keep the meeting moving along, maybe I'll follow up with everybody with an email saying, we'd like to have a little pop-up subcommittee to look at the parking, to look down the road, because we know that's still going to be an issue, and Dave has agreed to chair said committee.
I think I heard that.
Happy to work with somebody,
And everybody else has agreed to be on the committee. Okay, great discussion, and I will follow up with that with an email. And Doug, if folks on the committee want to do something different with it too, I'm open to any ideas.
Just a suggestion. In the invitation to the meeting or whatever, I would tell people to kind of write things down, write their ideas down before they get there.
Mm-hmm.
One, it helps them express them, and it gets the meeting going, too.
Yeah. So. And we could bring up, as part of the discussion of all that, and the app and how it works, we at some point maybe would want to invite Chief Turnett from his perspective.
Absolutely,
Because that's a real critical thing.
I'm sure he'll be happy to come.
Yeah. Yep. And committee could look at that whole garage thing too, you know. Okay. Going now back out of order to Ruth Davis Rogers, who has entered the room like Elvis, and she's ready to.
There's a lot of things going on. Yes, I don't have a whole lot to report on, but what we have had exciting happening this last week is that we hired a consultant out of New York to update our National Register district downtown, and that's because our district has not been updated since like 1978 when it was first initiated. And so the Maryland Historical Trust kind of tagged us because I think we've received $6 to $8 million in tax credits and financial incentives in the last few years downtown. And so when they look, that those surveys are important because they look at them when a certain building's, you know, get asking for tax credits. So they're looking at that information on the survey. And when it's 50 years old or 40 years old or 30 years old, they question if the building still looks the same. So they gave us funding to update our survey, and so that's what this consultant is working on. And I think Doug had the pleasure of meeting him because he was very excited to see the synagogue because he's like, oh my gosh, that's a rock star in the synagogue world. So Doug gave him a tour, and so that was really exciting. But he's a great guy, and I look forward to, you know, working. I mean, we've just had virtual meetings and, you know, phone calls and things like that, but, you know, I really enjoyed him, meeting him in person and talking to him, so I think we're in good hands.
So what are they doing? They're going building by building?
It's amazing some of the questions he had and things that he caught, because he was like, well, in 19, you know, in the last survey, it said that these windows had, you know, 6/6, and now it's 4/4, you know, windows or things like that. So, you know, he's just updating information,
Where does it all, where does it go then? To the register? Yeah, just updates?
The National Register is a federal designation, and so that comes from the National Park Service. But what they do is they actually give the state that authority. So the state, certain people in the state have the authority, and it saves money. So certain people in the state have the authority to work on the federal level as well as the state level. So it's cataloged in several areas, but the National Register is a federal designation, and then also the state recognizes it, and then of course that's our local historic district. And so, but all the funding that we're getting is through the federal and state. We had some facade grants too that came through there. But anyway, the more designations we have, the more funding that's available. The funding that they were talking about was the big money that we've gotten from McMullen and Wills Creek and, you know, things like that. And that all came from the federal level.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Did that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Ruth.
Yes.
Moving on to the Main Street committees. Clean, Safe, and Green.
We had our meeting last month. It appears that our members are still somewhat upset with the handling of the EV chargers, and there's dissension in the ranks. We're going to try to make an effort to revitalize them and get them back interested, but at this time the committee is defunct.
Defunct, is that what you said?
Defunct.
Defunct.
So we need to reorganize, or?
We're going to have to find new members if I can't get the guys to come back.
Okay.
All right. I would have more comment on that, but I really don't. I didn't explore my time in that realm.
Yeah, the EV charger things really kind of upset a few.
That was what prompted the initiative that Doug took to get that
document
together, which I appreciate you guys doing.
Just quick background, the committee did a lot of research on grants, presented it to the city, mayor and council meeting, and two other presentations to which the city did not respond or do anything. And then after 6 months, there was finally, the city went out and purchased or hired a consultant to come in. We've requested input on what that consultant said, whether it was the same thing that the committee said. We've not received any update on it, and it's just stalled out. The issue was during construction to get the conduit put in place under the street before the project was wrapped up, so that chargers could be added at a later time.
The other people in that committee, they weren't in the DDC, right? They're just community members downtown and stuff like that.
So it would be great if the city could present some sort of report back to the committee and see if we can get them organized again. That would be really nice if we could do something. You know, whatever the status, at least what's going on with it.
What was the report?
EV chargers?
Yeah.
I was
Chris,
a year and a half ago. So November 2023 is when the report went before the city.
Has anything changed since then, do you know?
Not that I know of, no.
But definitely part of, you know, I think it gets people here, gets people to come here, gets them off the highway, and definitely something we ought to think about.
What response was the committee waiting from the city? Chris, I'm sorry. I just want to be clear on this.
Moving forward, the committee offered to assist the city with filling out the grant paperwork because the charging, all of that is free. The state of Maryland has a number of grants as well as infrastructure grants for corridors, basically 3 miles off of main interstate lines to put chargers in. Canal Place, for instance, did a fast rapid charger in their parking lot. Part of our recommendations was to remove the slow chargers out of Liberty and reallocate them to the George Street Garage because they take 8 to 12 hours to charge a vehicle and replacing with fast chargers in the downtown area.
And you're waiting a response back from city staff on your recommendations?
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten a non-response?
Mm-hmm. And the city hired a consultant to give them a report on what we provided.
We don't know what happened to that.
Never received an update. Lori tried to get it, and she was never provided the info.
So no response to your recommendations and report, and no updates on what the city's person.
Correct.
Would that help you, Rod, Rock, to see what they requested? Was there a formal document written from your group?
There was a presentation with slides, yes.
Do you want to get a copy of that? Do you still have it, or do you have access?
No, I don't have it.
Since we changed representatives,
like
maybe it would
help.
Okay, that would help you, I think.
Well, I appreciate the updates and
yes,
your
sir.
Help on that committee.
Does the state do anything, like, let's say you put 4 or 5 chargers in, and again, I'm pretty naive to this whole, but if you put in, say, a bunch of chargers at Canal Place or downtown Cumberland or whatever, does the state put up any signs on I-68 or I-70 or whatever that says, hey, there's chargers here?
Yes.
They do that.
Yes.
Okay.
And the charging companies that we partner with put it on the apps and your navigation devices to indicate that they're there.
What a way to get people into downtown.
Yeah.
They're going to Frostburg right now.
Yes.
Are they really?
Wow.
Because early on...
And guess what? When they come down to do that, they'll maybe go get some coffee or get a sandwich.
Exactly.
Or
they'll stay at a hotel, they'll do all sorts of stuff, especially if it takes 4 to 8 hours to charge a car or whatever it takes.
Well,
I'm
the
sure
fast,
probably gonna...
the fast chargers over by the train station, they take 30 minutes.
How many are there?
So they like the
two.
Fast chargers, because yeah. I've talked to several people with
the ones at Sheets are always full. There's only like 4 of them, but there's always cars in there.
Yeah.
It surprises me.
At all the Sheets,
but it's the fast
yeah.
chargers they want.
Yeah,
they,
yeah,
they don't
it's
want
20
the
minutes
chargers.
I think
understand.
Sure.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that'd be
but not too fast. If it's too fast, then
yeah,
we don't want them downtown. They just clog up all the streets, and
well,
we've been complaining about
for
the.
Minutes, they're not going to stand there for 30 minutes. They'll walk somewhere.
Yeah.
But you know, they usually look for the
fast charger. I wish
to put them on Balmer's. I was going to say, this should be all 18 should be.
Yeah. They should have just put them in front of restaurants and things like that. But.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and so sometimes I'll talk to the people. You know, if you look at the train station down there at Canal Place, there's usually a car always there.
How many are there?
I've talked to a few people, you know, when they were charging, like during the farmer's market and everything, and they're from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But they usually find it on their app. So how'd you find it? Oh, on the app.
How many are there?
Huh?
How many charging stations?
There's just two there. Mm-hmm.
And over here there's...
But, you know, and then sometimes when they're there, they'll say, where's a restaurant? I mean, it's almost like we need to have a... directional
sure.
sign right there.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and so what some people that I've talked to about this, they say, well, we have them over there, but sometimes when you have older people, you know, it requires a walk. It would be nice to have some downtown, like you said, in that parking lot across from Gino's or something,
well,
so that they don't have to walk as far.
We have downtown,
conduit
right?
is in place for those
to pull those chargers
up, canal place.
And put chargers in their place without having a huge infrastructure issue.
Right.
Our committee recommendation was that near the transformers, the underground transformers along the street, Center Street, Liberty Street, to put it adjacent to that transformer, it was the less conduit run, if you would, from the electrical distribution point.
Before they finish the project.
Before they finish the project.
Well, ship us out.
Yeah. Well, somebody may have put conduit in, but I don't know if it's occupied.
I think what really, you know, we really need to explain to the mayor and city council how important this is, and it brings funding to our downtown. Because I don't think...
Well, it sounds like they already did. Chris gave a slide presentation to the committee. So that's already happened, right? There's just no response.
You got new people in there maybe now?
Yeah,
and
maybe. That's right.
And I think it's worth... It's definitely, I mean, it's a really important issue.
And I know there's talk about, you know, we were saying before construction, I don't know if you're aware of that water line on South Liberty Street that connects to the fire hydrant. That busted the first day the street opened. So that will be dug up come spring, and there is an electrical transformer in that vicinity. So
another opportunity.
There is an upcoming opportunity to put some electric underground there.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's something we really need to exploit, because I mean, we just put $15 million into downtown. What a way to show it off.
17.
Whatever it is. I mean, it's a lot of dough. And I mean, you know, they're gonna come to the collective, they're gonna come get coffee, they're gonna come, they're gonna stay once they get down here. The problem is getting them down here.
Yeah.
And I think we really need to stress that the downtown's not done. I mean, it still needs to be coaxed along. There still needs to be, you know,
the job is not done.
The job is not done. We still have to direct people down there. There still has to be, you know, it still has to be nursed in certain areas.
Absolutely. I just think the way we can get them downtown and get them to stop off of I-68, mm-hmm. I mean.
It's like adding specials to a restaurant.
Absolutely.
You know, and it aligns perfectly with what we are in Cumberland. You know, I think we finally tapped into the fact that we're an adventure sports town. You know, we have trails. It's all about the environment at this point. So if we show that we're also environmentally conscious on top of our adventure town, it's just going to continue. Because, I mean, obviously the people on bikes, they're already doing their part, you know,
sure,
so,
yeah.
In the summertime. But I wish the bikers were around right now, according to my sales, but, you know,
sure.
But
absolutely.
But having someone that stays overnight for 12 hours, 8 hours, things like that, or even if it is 30 minutes to an hour, they are going to walk to places that they find that they're going to be fit. They're going to grab a cup of coffee while they do it instead of sitting there with Netflix. And having maybe that designated area with a nice little kiosk that says, while you wait, why don't you check out, you know. And that would be something that would be...
This is a trend that isn't going to go away.
No.
The governor of Maryland's definitely going to push it. He's pushing electric. Like, you would be, 5 years, you're not going to be able to buy a gas-powered blower, according to him.
I saw that, yeah.
I just read that
this morning.
Day.
Yeah.
So I mean, he wants everything to go to electric, which is great. I mean, it is what it is, you know, whether before that or against that. But if we can get more people anyway, right now, get downtown, that's going to give you more money for sales and use tax, the whole nine yards, which is what we.
Well, whose responsibility is it to come up with a list of what's not finished in the project?
Well, I'm not saying that the project isn't done, but I'm just saying the project still has to be nursed along. And what you see, whenever you do a large redevelopment project like that, to see that it's working correctly, mm-hmm. is that, you know, you have the ground zero investment, but if it's working correctly, you'll start to see kind of like a bullseye. Like, that's the bullseye, but then the next ring is what's happening mm-hmm. organically on the next ring and the next ring. So it's like you put in the initial investment at the bullseye, but then organically, if it's exciting and people like it, you know what I mean? You'll start seeing investment trickle outward, you know, into the other side of Frederick Street, or, you know, over into Roses Plaza or whatever. You know what I'm saying? You'll start to see it go out. So that's why I'm saying you have to keep nursing it. You have to keep nursing it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Times News parking lot, is that... Most of it's owned by the Times News.
All of it is.
Okay, yeah. So
that's the next big development spot.
Yeah, and so
down the road.
How much? I mean, even as far as Canal Place, like, is there a certain line where? Okay. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because that would be a little bit closer, but at the same time,
I'll call Matt and talk to him about it. I don't mind doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that's a really good idea. Is trying to figure out what's left to do.
Rock
and figure out who we can get to do it.
Or I can send an email or somebody. We should follow up with Jeff, I guess, about the committee not getting response.
I have
that
here.
you want to do that, mm-hmm. then that would be great.
Doug, to follow on what you were just talking about, I'll send you a thing about the street lights that we've been monitoring so that you can talk to them about that.
Street lights?
Yeah.
Okay.
From the last meeting, the street lights on Center Street, there are two locations that used to have lights that didn't get replaced.
Okay.
And there's some black dot areas. I'll send you those notes.
Okay.
And I would just thank you for your efforts in this and you know, obviously, you know, with Doug when he was the chair, we have tried to help this process, like create the forum, and I would reach out to the committee members and say them stepping away isn't really going to help. I mean, I know they're mad, but it's nothing the DDC did, so them stepping away just hurts the effort, doesn't help.
It would be nice for them to hear from you, I think.
Yeah, I don't even know who's on the committee. I mean, I'd be glad to send an email to them or whatever, and whatever you'd like to guide me to do, I'd be glad to do that, Chris.
We'll tweak it.
Yeah, because we do appreciate their efforts. Okay, design committee. Probably not active right now.
That's Sandy, right?
Yeah.
I'm on it too. I haven't heard anything. I think it's just kind of, you know, it's been cold out.
Yeah, it's fine.
A lot.
I think last time they were working on that art project, this public art stuff.
Okay.
I saw some signs, I think. Was that the redesigning of our downtown signs and things like that?
That's a different one.
Okay. Well, there's a wayfinding signage study being
That's what I saw. Okay.
Taken up right now, too, which is different than the design committee. I think that's more than just historic city center. I think that's all of the areas downtown, so that signage would creep into the different, you know, historic city center, Canal Place,
Green Street,
the Walnut Bottom area, all those areas would be looked at, I think.
Yeah.
I think the contract's just for the core downtown right now.
Gotcha.
But they're talking about, you know, later.
How far does that neighborhoods encompass? Does it go all the way over to Walnut Bottom?
The contract was just for the core downtown area and then over into Prospect Square. Mm-hmm. So that was what the contract was.
Does it go into Decatur Heights at all? Does it go into Canal Place at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody's phone ringing?
Yeah, it's mine because there's some kind of emergency at one of the buildings. It's my life.
Don't know what that's like.
Jump off the
dome here. But the hope is long-term with the wayfinding plan, it will start to encompass other areas. Because like other cities that have worked with them for years and years and years to have a cohesive signs that talk to each other.
Right. You still there, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay. That's my phone beeping. Sorry.
So anyway, so that kind of works in with the design committee. Because we have a lot of signs, but they don't all talk to each other.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay. Economic Restructuring Committee, I'm going to just do that with the bid update under new business, because that's basically the only thing that's going on. The committee itself hasn't really met except via seeing what's going on with that whole situation, and there's a lot of movement there. Organization.
Yeah, that's Ed. He is working on, I think that's Ed, yeah. He's working on getting sponsors for the different events, for the Farmer's Market and Friday After Fives. And if you know anybody that's interested in sponsoring, there is a form, I think, that went out to all of us. Everybody get it?
I didn't see it. No.
Yeah. Okay, so they're looking for sponsors for Friday After Five and Farmer's Market. So if you call Ed, if you need his number, I'm happy to give it to you. He's got all those forms. And I thought they were sending an email to us a little while ago.
It might be in my backpack, actually.
Well, if you need
I did just get a letter from the DDC.
Yeah, ask Ed Huber about it.
Okay.
Give him a call, and he'll get it to you.
Okay, thanks.
And Jamie is doing promotions, Jamie Eshfu, so I don't know what status that is.
Well, and that's next on the list. Is Jamie the...
She's the chair of that, I don't know who else.
She is sick. She had emailed me earlier this morning. Chris is out of town with his wife on business. Becky Furlman has some staff issues and car issues. Scott's on my phone. Ed is not feeling well, and Jamie's not feeling well. Who else? Is there anybody else missing on the committee? I guess I didn't do a roll call at the beginning. I guess Michael Harris.
I'll send you this list, Larry, of what I have as the committees based in December of 2024. Okay.
What's that for? What?
The people who are on the committees that were originally on the committees.
Great.
So this is just a document that I had in my phone. So.
Okay.
Did you, Doug, when you updated it, did you move me from the organization to the economic restructuring?
I did not.
Okay. I'd like to make that move.
Okay. Well, I'll put it on my list, but make sure you do it on yours.
We need to get that group together here now that I got this thing, now that there's information.
Yeah. The organization committee really is a fundraising sponsorship type committee.
Yeah. You're better off not being
there. I've got nothing to contribute there.
Okay. Well, I've done it on my list. You need to do it on yours, Larry. Okay.
How much is there an estimate on what sponsorships, what's that involved in terms of what makes it worthwhile, the amount of money?
You have to talk to Ed. Ed studied it pretty well and came up with I'm on that committee, actually. We discussed it for a while and came up with these documents. Willing to help with it, too, as well. So for budgetary, what we need to raise.
Okay.
So you could talk to Melinda or Ed.
Okay.
All right. Well, and so that takes care of promotion. Thank you, Doug. Going to the new business, the bid update. So since the last time we met, the letters did get sent out. We're at that stage now where we're collecting signatures from building owners to get to that 80% level for the petition. So just to refresh everybody's memory, the whole idea would be property owners, if we get to that 80% level of ownership that says yes, we want a petition, then that automatically gets petitioned to the city, and then the city mayor and city council take up the action, which I did do a presentation to the mayor and city council about the bid, and they seem to be understanding what's going on and supportive of it. Certainly didn't get any negative feedback at all. And then so just what would happen if we get to that point, then we would put the effort into, we'd create the 501c3 nonprofit corporation. I would chair this and get five people to be on that initial board. And of course the property owners, down the road, they can change or do whatever they want. But the whole idea is then the tax or the fee gets collected. The city has a legal responsibility through code with the state of Maryland. They collect the money and they're required to turn the money over to the bid quarterly, so four times a year. So it's very clean in that regards. So it puts teeth into it. And then, we would, having that agreement with the city, which we've already worked out the parameters of, I guess we would memorialize it where we would take on the plants and flowers and the shoveling of the walks, and then the bid itself would go, and it could get contractors, 1099. The bid itself would have no employees. It would be a volunteer group, very much like HOA.
Is there a name, like an official name for the bid?
The Historic City Center bid.
Okay.
Business Improvement District.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
I just didn't know what it was going to be called, for the general public kind of, because right now it's the DDC and people know that there's the DDC, but once that changes to this BID, that's not what it'll be called. It'll be called
Historic City Center. Okay. To match up with what the district is. And the DDC, this board here, doesn't necessarily go away at all. The DDC would obviously be restructuring and changing, and I think the machinations are already in play there. This thing would transition to Main Street, Maryland, Cumberland.
Okay.
Which all does sort of make sense, right? Because then on the investment side for the property owners, it's like you're paying, first of all, it's 40% lower than what you're paying now, and you're paying for value in, value out. That's what the Economic Restructuring Committee said from the very beginning. So it's like, there is an extra thing for buying a building down here, but you're getting your walk's shoveled. Right. You don't have to worry about your neighbor not doing it. You know, it could be the wild, wild west, you know, like it is everywhere else in the city, but it's, there's a common good to having things, and the plants need to be taken care of, blah, 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 all those things. And we could parse, like I've had a lot of phone calls about it, and one of the things is, why do we have to do anything at all? The city should pay for everything. It's like, well, that's a whole nother discussion, but in reality, the city's not going to pay for everything, so it's either going to stay a special tax at the full 100% rate, or it's not. That's the reality that we're in, and I do understand you could make the case, but also from the city perspective, it's like they're not emptying common garbage cans anywhere else in the city or shoveling walks either. Yeah, they're. It's like I think we want to move forward. I would just say that it seems so. So my big fear is once we get to that thing, then we'll put in motion to create this and get everything going. And my big fear is just getting people to respond, to get the stuff back in a timely manner. Nobody said, no, I'm not interested in doing it. It's just, you know, getting responses.
So there's 94 property owners and we need 80% response. So
yeah, I've done spreadsheets, and I have like everyone that comes in as a response, I put in the one in there and it changes the percentage. Like, okay. I can give you like a real-time update. Let me see if I have that folder here.
Now, there's a meeting at the end of this month?
February 27th at Council Chambers here. We're having a town hall meeting for property owners. And Teresa McMinn hopefully is going to be dropping a story in the Cumberland Times News to help get the word out. And maybe WCBC could help do that prior to, Chris.
We've already run a story, but I'm sure we'll do it again.
Yeah. It's been really good. So see if I can. And any property owners here, did you get your letter in the mail?
Yeah. Just got one too, so.
Good. I don't know if I have that printed out database. Yeah, that sounds right. What we had to identify was how many different property owners. Because like the one of the companies that I have, we have multiple buildings, but it's the same LLC, so that's one vote. That's the way the law works. That, you know, the size of the property owner. But on the flip side, like Ed, he's got like Midson LLC and my two brothers LLC, and each one of those gets a vote, even though, you know, that he can be a different members in it, but it's by legal entity. And so there was 94 legal entities within that district that gets a vote. And that's where we are right now. I'm just waiting to see if we get to that point. And I didn't want to do any more work beyond that because, you know, I can't foresee the future. You know, we'll get there. I know that there's going to have to be some on the street walking door to door kind of thing. And that's, we had talked about that in the economic restructuring committee, that at some point we're going to have to, it's not going to just magically roll in the mail probably.
Right. And I know that I've gotten calls and I've spoken to you about some of the questions that people have, and they want a little more specificity on the responsibilities of the bid as opposed to the city in terms of if things break or if things need, you know, the bricks need replacement or whatever. Is that the responsibility of the bid or the city? So those sorts of details, I think, we need to be prepared to answer at this town hall meeting.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely, yeah. And just to summarize, you know, the discussions with the city is things that Dave just mentioned, that the bricks breaking, the waterfall feature, that's going to be city responsibility. And they've agreed to take that on, and also the Port and Lewis,
yeah,
city responsibility. What it boils down to for the bid is the London plane trees, the plants, any little parklets that were being mowed before, the garbage being emptied, sweeping if needs to be, and the plowing. Those are the primary function, the maintenance, beautifying functions of that. And I do think it's reasonable and fair to have the city be responsible for the bigger stuff, because that was the one thing. It's like the new infrastructure, that is not the DDC's responsibility. We supported the project, but it was the city and the CEDC that initiated, and I'm 110% for it, but like I've heard some people say that. It's like, well, the DDC did this and wanted this. It's like, no, we supported it, but it's not our responsibility. Like the waterfall breaks, and so, but But Jeff has been real good with that. He's like, I agree with you, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, and then the flip extreme other side is, well, we shouldn't have to do anything because it's the city's whole thing. It's like, yeah, but no, there is a vested interest here.
Yeah.
But like I said, most people, once it's explained, they're like, okay, yeah, it costs me less money and it's good. And the city's agreed to take on Melinda, her salary as an employee, so nobody's out of a job or out of a gig and all that.
Well, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's important. He keeps asking me about it all the time. So if you see Steven around,
I don't really know him.
Well,
he's
the maintenance guy. He's a great guy. He works really hard, and he just likes to know what's going on with it.
He always goes above and beyond. He's quiet, so you don't notice,
yeah,
but he's.
I mean, I would be glad to talk to him, but ultimately, at the end of the day, that's between he and the city. You know, I can only say what I've been told by the city, but
no,
I
keeps
have no
asking me
now.
About what's the status of it. Is it going to happen? And so.
I can tell you that prior to Steven, Merchants Alley was always kind of a neglected spot.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there every day emptying the trash cans.
He's great.
So
really, really good.
My understanding is he's being retained.
That's my understanding.
That's my understanding, too.
We should at least give him an update if you see him.
I don't know him.
Okay. Well,
I literally don't know
you to him.
I've heard great things about him. I don't know him. I don't have a contact.
Being a resident, we've talked to him quite a bit. He knows he's going to the streets department. He doesn't know what his role in the city is going to be in downtown in the DDC area. He knows he's going to the streets department. Our committee last year took him to lunch, just kind of as a meet and greet.
Awesome.
So that might be something, since you haven't met him, is to go out there and invite him to lunch. He likes Baltimore Street Grill.
I got to be honest with you guys. My bandwidth is frayed to the limit. I'm in about five different things, so I can't promise you how much
I've
I'm going to.
I've seen Larry more than my husband this week.
I feel like I deserve, you know, some kind of compensation from the city because I'm all about five different things.
Good luck with that, Larry.
Yeah.
One thing I will say about Steven, I've hired him to do some odds and ends around my house, you know, in the yard and stuff. He always goes above and beyond. He's just great.
I would hope that this city retains him to the things that we're talking about, the maintenance things the city's agreeing to do, and hopefully it's still Steven that's doing it.
Okay.
All right, we're on now to the city council report information.
The parking.
Okay.
That was all I had. Were you expecting anything else?
No. Okay. I mean, that's been very, very important. So, again, thank you for being an advocate for our group organization. It's very, very appreciated.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, Ron.
That was, on a side note, really cool to see that action in real time. And because sometimes you can get cynical and say, you can't have an effect on civic thing, but you can. It's great, and I know our work is ahead of us with that. All right, public comment. Anybody like to speak publicly?
Excellent discussion around the parking. Excellent. One thing I want to add is I come from other little towns that I spent time in that have matured into the point of supposedly needing parking, and they want to use a device of some type. And what I found is that device, no matter what it is, whether it's a kiosk, if it's a cell phone, whether it's an app on the cell phone, whatever that is, becomes a single point of failure in the whole money collection process. And then you ask, well, how much money is it costing us to collect that money? Mm. Which I think has been mentioned here. So anyway, this I can see what's coming already if you don't make the right decision. Been there, done that.
Can you say your name for me?
So carry on. This is a great job.
He liked your name.
Oh, I'm CJ.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've met each other.
I don't know your voice. That's fine.
We hang out at the city council meetings on Tuesday nights. We're the cheering section.
You're quite a community advocate. We appreciate your civic interest. At least I do.
Yes,
I think it's awesome.
Talk to my neighbors.
I think it's awesome.
Listen to them mostly.
Wish we had more of that. More people interested in coming to the meetings.
It's fantastic.
I know. I know. It's access to complaints.
Well, with that, I appreciate everybody's effort with everything. If I don't communicate that, it's very appreciated, and just trying to help. And appreciate Doug, everything that you're doing and staying on the committee, because you're such a vital piece to this whole thing, man.
Don't forget that parking thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. As everybody goes back to their little niche.
What time is that meeting on
27? That meeting is at, you caught me off guard here.
And what is the deadline?
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Ruth, did your husband take care of that CSX?
He's working on it.
Okay.
That meeting is. My son and grandson are in town, so I am going to go.
Oh, good for you.
Granddaughter.
Enjoy. Yeah. Thanks. Hey, good seeing you, bud.
Hey, we need to
see you, Doug.
74 owners respond. That's that gets us to 80%. Hey, see you, Doug. 6 o'clock.
Okay, thank you.
And what's the deadline?
Wednesday.
Right here.
You know, that meeting is Wednesday. It's Wednesday, February 26th.
What's the deadline for a response?
There is no deadline.
Oh, there is no
deadline.
It's
just a running thing. I mean, I probably should have put a deadline in there just to get people to send it in. I have gotten some of them sent in via scanning and
for some reason, I thought it was July. I mentioned in the last meeting that if it doesn't happen by...
Well, we wanted to get it going by July 1.
Okay.
So,
did you say it's not the 27th? It's the 26th?
Yeah, I think it's the 26th.
It's a Wednesday?
Yeah, Wednesday, February 26th at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
What's involved in chairing? I didn't want to say this in our meeting because I did not want to be automatically